was like to work in a factory like that. And you'll never see it again, not in this country. No, maybe would you want to? I don't know. It's still modern factories, modern leather shops are you know, of course, are a lot cleaner than they were back in those days. It, you know, was nothing to, you know, walking on the floor with scraps of waste leather and fleshing still, you know, kicking around. But I think it's important to see where, for everybody, not just kids, to see how things were made and who was making them. You know, just your father, your brother, there was a lot of women in the tanneries, but they weren't, they were, you know, given a, you know, it was always the guy, the pictures of guys, but you do have pictures of women in the tanneries. Especially, we would go to a tannery in Maine and see a woman doing the job that a guy, you know, you'd only see a man doing in Peabody. But up in Maine, you see a woman doing it because there was a shortage of men. So they had women doing the work. Most of it wasn't, I don't think I ever saw a woman in the wet side, in the tanning, in the beam house. But there would be trimming leather or hossing up leather, and you didn't see that in Peabody. But mostly the women were used because they were good with their hands. They were trimmers. They would trim in the trimming room, trimming the leather. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's all part of this is what made people, Peabody people is what made the city, that, you know, they were hard working, and I think that's important.
Well, do you have any last impressions, any last observations of Peabody and the leather industry and how it influenced the city, good or bad?
I can still smell the leather. When you go into a store and you see the leather hanging on the rack, even though it might be made in Pakistan or Indonesia, they still had that leather smell is the same, that finished leather smell. You know, I drive down. You drive anywhere in Peabody, and you see what used to be there. You know, some people don't even know what was there before. But some of the apartment houses down on Foster Street, there were leather factories, and how they turned some of them into leather factories. One of them, that Foster Street one down there, I can remember. That was JEC Tanning. It was a hole in the wall. It was It was floors. You go up a set of stairs, and the stairway leaned to the left as you walked up the stairs. It turned inward, and you know, then you walk down a hallway, and the floor was like a roller coaster. And they rebuilt it. I've been in that building since it's been in apartments, and you can still feel the floor go like this. But that's, you know, it's funny. What used to be a factory is now an apartment house. People are living there now, not making leather, and one of the ones was I forget the name of the one on the brick building on the left as you go down Foster Street, Crease and Cook, I think it was called, or Ginecco and Grill, one of the others. But that was a real tannery, and you know, that kind of stunk, but they just sandblasted everything, put sheetrock up, and people, 6 months later, people living there. It's like, oh, we used to drive by, who would want to live there? But the people who moved in probably had no idea. They didn't know. On a damp day, what's that smell? You know?
Oh. So do you think Peabody recovered and adapted?
Yeah, very much so. I think, you know, some politicians that had some foresight, and they kind of saw the handwriting on the wall. We got to get into something else besides, you know, the leather industry. And I think some people didn't like that. They thought that the city officials should have done more for the leather industry, but there wasn't anything they could do. There really wasn't. I mean, our own government wasn't doing anything. The federal government wasn't doing anything. Yeah. If you look at, if I work for FedEx, and we have a little booklet, and it's tells you what you can ship and not ship from different countries. If you look in Italy and India,